T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
6:14 now. We're talking about President Trump's budget and, I guess, more importantly, the wall. And do you believe in the wall? Do you want the president to get his $8.6 billion? You know what? Again, Lara Brown, our guest, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. Good morning.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm well. And you?
Well, thank you.
I've decided to round this off like a game show and say, you know what? Give him $9 billion. So let's give the president $9 billion for a wall, and we're asking our audience, are you for that or not? Lara, I mentioned earlier I downloaded about 14 pages on the federal government's budget process and how the federal government creates and manages its budget. And I'll bet you could take maybe 3-4 days trying to explain it to me, and I wouldn't get it. So,
yeah, well, you're not alone in not getting it. It is complicated, and it does involve both chambers of Congress and a whole series of timelines that were put in place in 1974.
So how do we talk about this without getting lost in the weeds? First of all, did he send it to Congress? Did they deliver those? You know how they always got the video clip of the stacks of books or whatever that's wrapped in cellophane, and then they send them over. Has that been done yet? Has it been printed?
Well, I don't know if it has been printed yet, but yes, it is true that the president delivers those to Congress. We always say in Washington that the president proposes and the Congress disposes. And what that basically means is that the president's budget is simply that, his wish list of what he would like government spending and priorities to be. Typically, the State of the Union address is tied to this budget request, which is why State of the Unions usually are something of a laundry list of priorities that the president would like to see Congress do. But Congress will get this budget and then basically say, thanks so much for all your ideas, but we're going to do what we want.
Yeah, they'll get the book and they'll say, okay, burn this. Or use it,
exactly
use
right.
it to sit on or stand on if you're height challenged and you need to see over something. So in terms of what the president wants, big picture, and what Congress is likely to say, absolutely, positively not, I guess the wall would be one of those, because this has a start in the House. That helps me out with that, because I know the Senate and the House both look at it, but how does this all play out between the different chambers?
Well, so according to the Constitution, the House, because it is the chamber closest to the people, being popularly elected every 2 years, the House is in charge of all matters related to taxation, which is why the Ways and Means Committee exists in the House of Representatives, and there is not a similar committee in the Senate. But there is a budget committee in both chambers, and what goes on is that the budget committees essentially put together the top lines. In other words, how much for the overall spending are we talking about in a given year? And then many of the sort of the Ways and Means Committee begins to look at how much are we actually talking about in terms of taxation or spending. The Appropriations Committee takes a look at the spending levels, and all of the proposals essentially get wrapped up by the budget committees. So that's where both chambers will look at them, but they don't look as though they're going to have any sort of resolution across both chambers until mid to late April.
You know, Lara, I was an accounting major for like 3 weeks, so I know what I'm talking about here. But does anybody really go through all of this line by line? Does anybody really have a handle on this? Are these numbers hard and fast, or are these just gross generalizations?
Well, it's a little bit of both. Usually all of the requests and the spending are done essentially by the cabinet agencies themselves that run these programs. They're the ones who sort of create initial estimates of essentially what they need. And then Congress and the subcommittees that deal with each piece of legislation that addresses a specific program is also involved in the specific dollar amount. So every piece of legislation actually has an authorizing legislation which approves its existence, and then an appropriations amount which then is tied to that authorization. So the hard part is at the very specific level, people do know how much is being spent. Trying to pull it all together is where I think things get lost in translation. And that's why the budget committees were created, is to try to keep a handle on what things look like at the global level, if you will.
I didn't want to, again, get lost in the weeds, but I think I did want to establish what how the system works, some of the intricacies involved in it. And we're going to address the politics when we come back, because again, I would presume every budget is nothing but politics. You got a Democratic-controlled House, Republican-controlled Senate, 2020 election coming up, money for the wall, Nancy Pelosi yesterday saying she's not for impeachment. We'll talk the political side of this when we come back. 260-1870. Bottom line for y'all, do you want the president to hold out for his almost $9 billion for a wall, or do you want him to not sign anything, even if it means a government shutdown if he doesn't get it? 620 traffic now, WWL. 624, Tommy Tucker, WWL. President has, given Congress, or at least it's in the process of being shipped over there, his budget. He sent it to Congress. Let's leave it at that. It includes a $1.1 trillion deficit, which means Lara Brown, our guest, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University and one of our bestest buddies, it means that the government will be spending in fiscal 2020, is it? $1.1 trillion more than it's taking in, right?
That's right. I mean, one of the things that is extraordinary about this budget, which has not been true of President Trump's past budgets, is that it doesn't project that the deficit will be essentially brought into line with the revenues for 15 years. So we're looking at a 15-year projected balanced budget. The previous budgets that the president had put forward was 10 years. In addition, what is the case in this budget is that the economy is going to continue to expand and grow for quite some time. In fact, the entire time of this budget.
So just to be clear, that $1.1 trillion is for 1 year, right? The next fiscal year?
Yes, there are over $1 trillion deficits for the next 4 years.
And as it is
proposed budget.
I'm sorry, Lara, the national debt is $22 trillion plus, right?
Yes, it is.
So we're adding $1 trillion to that, which, you know, it's easy to say, that's 22, make it 23. That's $1 trillion, which is a lot of money. Now, along those lines, in terms of accounting for every penny, this budget is $4.7 trillion, is that right? Round numbers?
Yeah, I think it's $4.75
trillion.
And
the president wants, again, we're going to round it up to $9 billion for the wall. In terms of percentage of budget, I guess it really isn't that much, even though it's still $9 billion. And how does that factor in politically, A, with the Democrats in the election year coming up, and B, with the Republicans, who are perhaps concerned about spending and deficit and the resulting debt?
Well, so I would say that no one seems to be concerned with deficit and debt the way we should be. There is this whole new idea of modern monetary theory, as though spending unlimited amounts and racking up debt will never have an impact on our growth or on our overall welfare. I think that's rather naive and foolish, but we'll leave that aside. There is this other political issue, and you're right, $9 billion is not that much money given the scope of the budget. The question is, what will be cut, that would normally be funded with that $9 billion. And I think one of the things that is true is as you look across this budget proposal, the president cuts huge amounts of programs in the Department of Education, in the Environmental Protection Agency. The only place where you see increases is in the Defense Department, which the Defense Department actually said it did not want or request. So what we are looking at is that discretionary spending shrinks significantly, and that discretionary spending are on things like research and science. There's a lot of cuts for essentially understanding renewable energy, and some of these programs end up really hurting local economies because many of them, believe it or not, go to research universities where they are doing a lot of the underlying science that will make tomorrow a better, sort of more efficient, more effective place.
We're just about out of time. So who's got the big swinging lever when it comes to this in terms of the 2020 election, Democrats, House, social programs, 36, 40%, 42, whatever it is that backed the president? Does this have any effect at all on the 2020 election? Is this still going to be going on by then? Is it going to be continuing resolutions? And who ultimately holds the power here, the president or the House? Or let's say the president and the Senate or the House.
Well, everybody has power here. And yet, at the same time, the budget that is going to move to the president's desk is likely going to be more shaped by the House than any of the other chambers. But that said, it will have to get past the Senate. But the Senate is, in fact, more in line with the House in keeping a lot more of the spending priorities that are in existence than they are with the White House. So the person who's really kind of out of this process is, in fact, the president. And that's why everyone is talking about the politics potentially again leading to another shutdown.
Can you give me a 30-second answer before they scream at me? Nancy Pelosi says she's against impeaching the president or not for it. What's the end game here? What is she saying?
She's putting the pressure on the Republicans. She said that if it moves, it will have to be very bipartisan. And the reality is she is putting the pressure on the Republicans to essentially eventually agree with her that the president is not fit to be in his position. And we are about to see Republicans rebuke this president on the national emergency. That will happen later this week.
Thank you, Lara. Appreciate your time. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Tommy.
Our friend Lara Brown, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. And in addition to being a very smart lady, she got some very deep connections in Washington, so she knows what she's talking about. Bottom line, 260-1870, should every budget have to be balanced? Are you okay with increased deficits? And should we spend $9 billion to build the wall? News now, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.